Oh, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places. In Jesus, our Messiah, the name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is our live weekly Prophecy Reality Edition. And I haven't been here in a couple weeks because I've been under the weather a little bit. Still hoping not to cough during this. Still have a little congestion going on here, but I think I can make it through. First hour, I have no idea what we're going to discuss, so looking to the chat room or callers to help spark the discussion. Second hour, we're going to jump into part 8 of The Shadow Government Works for the Antichrist and the diffusion of the shadow government agents throughout Christendom, and that's including all of Christendom. And actually, we see that since the time this document was written, this was like part of their opening documents in the establishment of the shadow government many hundreds of years ago. But since then, yeah, you can see that all this stuff they have worked at, and they have accomplished quite a bit. It's, you could say, wonderful, or more thoughtfully say diabolical. That's what they have done. But they have executed it wonderfully and diabolically, their shadow government throughout the whole world. Well, a few people showed up today. Wacky, WW, somebody's the OKJB, and Judith and a smoke is in the room. Okay. Well, like I said, second hour, shadow government, part 8. First hour, I don't have a clue. But I do have something I wanted to address. A lot of people mistake, you know, because we're here on First Amendment Radio at firstamendmentradio.com or .net. And a lot of people think, well, that, you know, I should be able to go on there and say whatever I want to say because it's First Amendment Radio. And if you're going to call yourself First Amendment Radio, you got to let everyone have their voice on your network. Well, I'm sorry. But, you know, things don't work that way. And I always straighten people out by telling them that First Amendment Radio is not about providing a forum for everyone to exercise their First Amendment rights. You already have that. Okay? You can start your own blog. You can make your own videos on YouTube. You can publish your own books, etc., etc. And there's no end to what you're allowed to do by the First Amendment. Okay? First Amendment Radio is about carrying on the Protestant First Amendment rights signaled by Martin Luther when he posted his 95 Theses to the church door in challenge and defiance to the Antichrist over 500 years ago. That is the First Amendment Radio mission. And if you listen for any amount of time, well, you get that loud and clear, especially from myself and from Tom and various others speaking at least Reformation truth theologically, even if they don't have the eschatology down. There's a big difference between eschatology and theology, because if your eschatology is correct and your theology is wrong, well, you might as well be a papist, okay? So it's more important, I believe, to get your theology right first. And if you really do that, then your eschatology should follow if you apply the same sound exegesis to eschatology that you do to come to Reformed theology. And all Reformed theology is infant Christianity. It is the true gospel, because that's what the Reformation was all about. It was about bringing the church back to biblical Christianity. The church definitely needed reforming. 500, 600, 700 years ago, ever since, of course, the Antichrist rose up. Many, you know, how long has it been now since the Antichrist rose up? Well, we'd have to add almost 2,000 years ago. Yeah. It's been a long time. The Antichrist reigned for 1,260 years. So we could say definitely 1,300, 1,400 years ago is when the Antichrist church rose up in the man of sin, was seated in his place, because he did rule for 1260 years according to prophecy and to reality in history. So that you'll see that the great apostate Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, let's add Roman Catholic, because of course Catholic in the Latin simply means universal. But if you put Roman in front of it, it's an oxymoron, because you can't have a Roman universal church. Because why should the bishop at Rome be higher than all other bishops? And they try to say that was Peter. What a bunch of nonsense. Everybody knows. I mean, if you read your Bible, you know who first established the church at Rome was definitely Paul. I mean, the evidence is in the scripture itself. It was not Peter. As a matter of fact, there is no evidence that Peter was ever even in Rome or at Rome. There is a story, an uncorroborated, unsubstantiated story, that Peter was crucified upside down at Rome, which we're not sure that, because there is no evidence there, you know, at all to that story, only that the story has been told over and over. So, yeah, universal apostate church has spoke. Okay, so back to our discussion on the Antichrist, the great apostasy. The great apostasy foretold to reign for 1260 years. That reign came to an end about the end of the 18th century, about the time of the French Revolution. That's right, 1260-year reign of temporal reign of Antichrist came to an end. Now, the prophecy also says that typifies that end as a head wound, as it were, to death. It was a wound by the sword, and it definitely was. The papacy was overthrown. But it has come back, and the scripture typifies its position now as was and is not, yet is. That's a funny way, but I mean, those are the exact words from our King James Version translation of the place of the final beast, the Roman beast, as it exists now after its 1260-year papal temporal reign. The beast still exists till the end, until Christ returns, and it is cast into the lake of fire. The beast is still here. It just seemed to disappear. Every vestige of power of that head that was wounded seemed to completely disappear. But it has come back, and it is in power, and it appears that it isn't really existing. It was and is not, yet is. So there's a mystery there, but it fits perfectly with the way things are, that the Antichrist truly does rule the world, and through his shadow government, which works for him, this shadow government having been established about the same time as the Protestant Reformation, okay? Having worked in governments and churches and all over the world to institute, even taking control of the money powers of the world. And you know, you read it there in Revelation chapter 13, and it says that the Antichrist is going to cause everyone to get a mark or a number to buy or sell at the end. Okay? And voila, look what we have. We have Satan's monetary system implemented by the Antichrist shadow government a little over 100 years ago. And it's only becoming stronger and taking over every nation of the world since then. And as you can see now, you know, they have their Federal Reserve system firmly implanted in America. And I've called that for many, many years. I called it the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury that happened in 1913. That's when the shadow government took over the U.S. Treasury. What a coup it was, okay? And they took away a just weight and a balance, substance, real money, because real money is substance, and they replaced it with Federal Reserve currency, okay? Which is not real money. It is unjust weight and balance, because it changes, And it is, you have to loan it in, they loan it into existence, so that's usury. And they print it out of thin air. And now it's in, it's paper notes and it's digits and checks in your bank account and credit cards. But it is all controlled by the shadow government bankers that rule the world for the Antichrist. And that's where we are today. And that's why I'm here. And I have this show called Prophecy Reality. And I've written several books, and published other writings so that people could understand. Now, the shadow government, and we're going to be talking about their diffusion of their operatives throughout Christendom. And so not only their own Antichrist church, but into the Protestant churches, evangelical churches, whatever churches are available, and even into communism, atheism, every Buddhism, every religion on the earth. They've diffused themselves throughout all of the religions of the world. We see that. They even embraced homosexuals and atheists. You can see that in the present Antichrist, the present man of sin who sits in that seat of the Antichrist. Francis, that's what he calls himself, or his name is really Jorge Bergoglio. Okay, so we know who we're talking about, who the Antichrist is. Now, the Antichrist was outed 500 years ago by the Reformers. Every one of them loudly proclaimed that the Roman Catholic Church was that great apostasy foretold in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 by Paul when he wrote that book so many years ago. Okay? They've loudly proclaimed and identified the Roman Catholic Church as that great apostasy and the papacy as the seat of the man of sin. And it's a seat that they can only keep it filled by mortal men who are going to die. So if the Antichrist is going to reign for 1260 years, well, he can't reign as one man, because Satan doesn't have the power to do what God does, and that's really raise someone from the dead or make someone live for 1200 years. Okay? So they have to keep replacing the seat of the man of sin with a new man. And the man of sin doesn't have to be one individual any more than the man of God is a singular individual. We all who are truly Christ are the man of God individually. That is an office that we all hold as his saints and his priests in his kingdom even now, but even more so when he returns. For his, Revelation chapter 20, literally interpreted thousand year or millennial reign of Christ. And, you know, despite what all of the amillennialists say, I'm still not buying into amillennialism. I have to go with something that is clearly and explicitly spelled out in the scripture, over something that is only posited by the amillennialists. And, thank you for all the, amens there. OKJB, is that, I don't know what OKJB stands for. Old King James Bible only? Is that what that stands for? Yeah. Yeah, well, most of your other translations, I have to agree, if that's what your stand is. I will put it this way. The very best Bible version for the English speaking people on planet Earth is the Authorized King James Version. Yeah, that's the best one out there. Now, a lot of people like Smoke in the chat room. I think he goes back to the Geneva Bible. That's fine, you know, but I have the Authorized King James tied to the original Greek and Hebrew and some Aramaic there, and so I can peer into the original language, and I can study into it and clearly understand it that way. So, for the English-speaking people, I'm going to say the Authorized King James Version is the best Bible for us. Okay? There you go. That's my position on that. I'm not going to exclude, because, you know, the Word of God is in all those perverted versions and all those Jesuit versions out there. And there's a whole lot of them. But the Word of God is in there, and people can, the Spirit of God can work through those because the Word of God is present. And I can, even Jesus, speaking of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites of his day, he said, do as they say and not as they do, simply because they had the Word of God. And not very many people could own a Bible then. So they were speaking what we call Jesuitism, even then, before it was, before the Jesuits existed, that spirit existed, okay? And they exercised that spirit, reading the Word of God, but perverting it with their commentary and with their lifestyle. That's why Jesus said, do as they say, but not as they do. But we all have, you know, we all have available the Word of God today. So we can do as the Spirit of God leads us through his Word. Okay. Let's see. My daughter's mother-in-law is also a Zionist. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? We have to, you know, these poor Zionists out there, you know, they're all mistaken. They've all been brainwashed by their pastors who were brainwashed in seminary, which the shadow government, the Jesuits, have control. They control practically all of the education. They've done more damage through their means of education than anything else. They control, because they would rather have you go all out pagan than read the Bible. They would rather have you be absolutely despicable in your behavior and end up in hell than become a Protestant. That's the truth. And so they're all for perversion. And, you know, like the whole thing about, you know, the dichotomy, the hypocrisy, for instance, of all of the Catholics that are in the Senate and in the House of Representatives in the United States of America, and how they all stand up for a woman's right to kill her child before it's born, or up to the minute it's born, or even a minute after it's born, from what they're saying now. They just kill them babies. You have a right to kill them little babies, those innocent little ones. And these people are Catholics. Now, the question, it begs the question, you know, oh, but aren't Catholics against abortion? Of course they are. Catholics are against abortion for Catholics. And the Pope, the papacy, the Catholic Church has proved this over the last 500 years. Okay? I've been reading the History of Protestantism by, what's the guy's name? Yeah, I forget. And actually, it's out of the History of Protestant that I'm doing the second hour, this multi-part series on the shadow government works for the Antichrist. That's where I get that from. But you can go to my website at crosstheborder.org and you can check into that for yourself, because not only do I put the audio where I'm reading it to you over the air, but I put the text in each post so that you can read each chapter for itself. And it comes out of a 3-volume set, probably 1,500 pages, called The History of Protestantism. And now reading, of course, through the history of Protestantism, reading on the Waldenses, the Albigenses, and all of the horrible persecutions that took place. Now, the Antichrist and his cohorts and his government, his crusaders during that time, they had no problem exterminating Christians, taking little babies and dashing their heads against the rocks. Yeah. So, which is what they're pushing now, abortion. Of course, that's in the womb. Oh, it's much more clean and, you know, it's not really a person. But, you know, now they're shouting, let's do it after they're born. Why? Well, the Antichrist, if you go to his Roman Universal Church, the oxymoronic church, and they teach their people that, oh, even they've taught for years and years and years that their people should not even practice birth control. They teach them the rhythm method so that they can, you know, if they want family planning, that's all they can do is a hit and miss kind of thing, right? Now, I'm not for birth control or abortion or any of those things. I think that God's people should obey the very first commandment that was ever given in the scripture, to be fruitful and multiply and then raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And every married Christian couple should do this gladly, just out of obedience to Christ, even despite all of the indoctrination and mostly Jesuit indoctrination in the world that, for giving all the reasons that you should not have children, okay? They'll fly in the face of what God's word clearly says and commands from his people. So anyway, the Catholic Church doesn't want any of their people aborting their children because they want to fill the world with the Roman Catholics. Yeah. That's what they want. So abortion is okay for pagans and heathens and Protestants and evangelicals. And homosexuality is great because they don't reproduce. Of course, they have to get babies from heterosexuals so they can have children. It is so moronic, the whole thing. Okay? So that's why the Roman Catholics are all for abortion, because their leader is all for abortion. The Antichrist is for it. He hates mankind. And the only time he doesn't want you aborting, because true Catholics will not abort their children. Nominal Catholics will. So he doesn't really care about this because they're mostly, they're pretty much rebellious Catholics anyway that would go and abort their children. So let them have at it. Who needs them? That would be the Antichrist's true attitude toward abortion, despite what he says. Because if he really believed that abortion was wrong for everybody, well, why isn't he making his adherence in the governments, overthrow abortion? Because he certainly has, him and his shadow government have more influence than you and I will ever have in any of the governments of the earth. Okay, you're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And my name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we've just been having a general discussion today. Callers, comments in the chat room are welcome at firstamendmentradio.com. Go to the homepage there, click on the chat button, and join us in the right-hand column. There's a little view screen if you want to see me in the studio live. Here I am sitting in front of my webcam in my studio doing a live broadcast. Hope the sound is good and loud today. It looks pretty good on my monitor, so I guess we're a go. Okay, I've been hearing something in the news lately that, you know, every time I hear it, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. I don't know if that ever happens to you, but I'm hearing a lot of it today from the President of the United States. Yes, that is the day we're in, the days of Donald Trump. And, of course, I like him better than the last president, or the president before him, or the president before him, or him, or him, or him, going a long way back before. Really not happy, too happy with the presidents of the United States, but some are better than others. But something he's saying now, you know what, he's mistaken, like everyone else. I believe that in his heart of hearts, that I see that there's been a change in the man's life. Maybe he's had a come to Jesus moment, as they say, and he's really trying to do something good. I really have to give people the benefit of the doubt because, well, the Word of God tells us to believe the best. So we can pick the best and believe it, but we can't deny what we know. And I know he's had a pretty bad past, but, you know, I know I've done some pretty bad things in my past, too. And what is the gospel all about if it's not about redemption? So I pray for the man, okay? But lately he's been saying things like, America will never be socialist. And so now he's standing up against socialism. Well, he's as deluded as just about everyone else in the United States of America. Out of 300 plus million people, I would say that at least 300 million of them are socialists. As a matter of fact, they are card-carrying socialists. They have gone down and they have applied for socialism. That's right. Went down and purposely applied for socialism. And most of them probably didn't know what they were doing, or most of them had it done by their parents to them. Their parents applied for socialism for them. And then when they became of age to do something about it, they did nothing about it because they did not understand what had happened to them. Okay? Because everyone who is carrying a social security card is a card-carrying socialist. As a matter of fact, Social Security is a contract that you enter into, or someone entered you into. And when you discover what it is, that's when you have so much time to do something about it. Now, you may not discover it, like I did not discover it until I was well into adulthood. And that was like about 25 years ago. Yeah, 25 years ago, I discovered what I was in and never understood what it was. I never read the contract. Yeah. I didn't know what I was participating in. Didn't know that it violated the law of God and that it robbed me of my liberty. See, because here's the thing, okay? When any time you have to sign anything, it's voluntary. So when you have to sign up for anything, it is voluntary. Yeah, so I repeated myself two different ways there. Think about it. What happens if you don't sign? Well, then you haven't volunteered. That's all there is to it. And when you signed up for Social Security or you continued in it, you continue to volunteer. Okay? But once you discover, now you could write out an affidavit that I looked at I researched into the Social Security contract because some of the things that is required by it violate the law of God. And I discovered that it is a total violation of the law of God. And by my religious belief, this requires repentance. And part of my repentance is withdrawing and not participating in socialism. Now, you see where I'm going here, huh? And this is very uncomfortable for a lot of people, especially those that are benefiting from the socialist system. Do I think it's wrong to collect a government pension? It would be wrong for me to collect a government pension. Okay. Well, I see. That's really something that you have to answer for yourself. Now, I think it's wrong to participate in any kind of welfare. Okay. Because what welfare does, and this goes back to the shadow government that rules the world. See, this is part of the Antichrist system. Because the Antichrist system is necessarily socialist, communist. See, because socialism is just, it's voluntary up to a point. And at the point that it becomes mandatory, it's no longer socialism, it's communism. That's the difference. I mean, you know, that's why do you think Stalin, Jesuit-trained Stalin, had 20,000 of his own countrymen murdered? You know, or should we say extirpated, right? Through his New World shadow government inquisitions. That's what those were. Those were inquisitions. Don't even think that it was anything else. Anytime you hear communists, understand shadow government, Antichrist controlled government, because that's exactly what he wants. I mean, if you think about it, when you read Revelation chapter 13 about the mark of the beast and everyone being required to buy and sell in the Antichrist government system, you have to have a number, okay, to buy or sell in his system. That's communist. Okay? And what happens to those who don't participate or withdraw? Well, it says that before Christ comes, it's even going to get to the point where you will be put to death, okay, for not participating in his government and in the mark of the beast monetary system, which is, I mean, that the description of it is communism. It's total control. And that's why they're increasing the socialism more and more and more, and they're printing more and more money. I mean, the devaluation of the currency is really becoming what you could call rapid. I mean, I just went to Costco yesterday, and everything, I would say 90% of the stuff that I usually buy, which is mostly staples, everything was a dollar or more increased from the last time I was there. That's just from the last time I was there, probably 1 month before. Okay? And Judah says in the chat room, he says, do you think it's wrong to collect a government pension? He says, I collect a widow's pension. Okay, I'm a widower. And you say you'll soon be 65. I'm already older than you. And I do not collect anything from the government. And I will not collect anything from the government ever. Now, is it easy? No, it's not easy. Living by faith that God is going to provide for me financially is something that I've been learning to do for the last 25 years since I withdrew from the mark of the beast system, from the socialist system, because the socialism is necessarily Antichrist. Because it violates God's law. The whole thing is wrong. And of course, Satan, you know, the shadow government wants everybody in. And in America, it's voluntary. In some other countries, it's not voluntary. Okay? But soon, when it comes to America and they tell me, I mean, I'm losing privileges and immunities, and it's increasing over the last 25 years. It gets harder and harder every year. Like, I had a passport in the past. Now I can't get one because I'm not a socialist. They do not allow, and it's under some law that that what's his name, Obama passed, to punish people who owe more than $50,000 in back taxes. But part of that law is that if anyone does not give a Social Security number, they can arbitrarily, at their own discretion, the State Department, the Passport Division, can, at their own discretion, deny you a passport. And that's exactly what they've done to me. They took my money, my nearly $200 of my passport application, and they said, no passport for you. Okay? So I can't even get an ID anymore. Only socialists can get IDs. So they're squeezing you out unless you are a participant. See, because when you have a, when you're a card-carrying socialist, you have a license now. Okay? Under their rules to go to one of their, Antichrist banking establishments, Federal Reserve banking establishments, and you have a right to have them create money out of thin air on your behalf. You can get your piece of the pie, and the Antichrist will be glad to do it for you. And, well, if you're too poor, well, the Antichrist will be glad to print trillions of dollars to provide for you and pay your bills. Right? Why? Why? Why doesn't the Antichrist want you to go to the church, want you to go to your family, and rely on charity, which is God's social system? Well, one, because you're too proud. Wait a minute, wait a minute. You know, let's read Proverbs. Let's see. Proverbs, I'm going to go here to Proverbs right now, and I'm going to read something to you. Proverbs chapter, let's see, where is it? Ah, here it is. This is, we have a lesson on socialism here. In Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. And let me put that on the screen here for you, so if you're watching and see it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Well, even that statement by itself is, good advice. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Okay. Well, we shouldn't be laying wait for blood of anybody, should we? Okay. How about let us lurk privily? We're going to do it in private. And that way nobody will have to know that you're a participant for the innocent without a cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the graven whole and as those that go down into the pit. We shall find, now here's the covetous part of socialism, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil, but we'll be able to do it privately. You don't have to go rob your neighbor. The government will do it for you. All you have to do is consent. But here he says, consent thou not. You consent when you go down and you sign the socialist contract. Okay? Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. So not only are we going to rob your neighbor, but we're going to require you to cast in your lot with us during your whole lifetime to be part of this scheme. My son, and here's what the wise man says, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. Yeah. That's your first lesson in socialism. And Jesus gave a few lessons in socialism too. Yeah, he did. And I've talked about all of this in the past. But there it is, plainly spelled out for you. And you know, it's easy to go to read something like this and, oh, well, that doesn't really mean what I'm going through and that doesn't apply to me. But, if you go to my website, I've got what I call a travel document there, which I use when I travel. Because, of course, the government, because I'm a socialist, they deny me privileges. And driving is a privilege, although I'm not a driver. I've never been a driver in my life. Because a driver, you know, it's like I'm not a dentist, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a whatever, you know, I'm not a secretary, so I don't need a driver's license to travel. And I found that to be the truth, because I travel and I don't have one. But they won't give me a driver's license because I'm not a socialist in California, the California government. So now, finally, because of a law Obama passed and whenever it was, him and Orrin Hatch passed, now I can't even get a passport. So I can't get any identification in the United States of America. I have a expired passport, but they don't allow you to use that for any government purpose. But the police will, they accept it, because I have nothing else to give them when the police stop me while I'm traveling. And, of course, the police let me go, because what can they do? I haven't got into a driver's license contract with them. And, yeah, you know that? If you don't have a driver's license, they can't give you a ticket because you've never agreed to be a part of their driver's club. And you're not required to under any statute or ordinance. Anyway, it's all funny about how the law works and what it really is. And what people believe usually is not true. Okay? But we've all been deceived. It really gets pretty deep, actually, when you see how deep the deceptions are. Let me check the chat room, see if we got any. Osama, there are many homeless people in town where I reside because many don't make enough money to live on, nor have a family that will help them. And see, this is part of the Antichrist's doing, you know? Part of his doing has been to take charity away from the churches. Because, see, all of these people in history went to the church. Ah, yes. I know Brother Paul Revere. I've known him for since the 1990s when we used to work together in radio. And, yeah, he's a Christian. He's a good man. Good man. I love Brother Paul. He used to, I don't know if he still does passports and stuff like that, but those are kind of, you don't really need all that stuff. He's not money making. He's not charging, tons of money for the work that he does, but it does help some people so they can't do some of that, those things in education for themselves. Like, you know, I can. If you go to my website, yeah, I've met him and his family. She's going, oh wow. Yeah, I've known Paul Revere for a long, long time. Met him personally, sat with him and talked to him. Like I said, a good guy as far as I'm concerned. Haven't had anything to do with him in many, many years, though. I do have one of his passports from way a long time ago, but never really had occasion to use it, to tell you the truth. And anyway, and I wouldn't use one of his license plates. I have a dealer card in my, where my license plate goes. That's all I have, you know. And when the police stop me, I just give them my passport and I try to be as cordial as I can. I give, you know, tell them about the mark of the beast and in my stand. I have my travel document. If you go to my website there at crosstheborder.org and, it's in one of the columns there. Let me see if I can navigate to that for you. So make it easy for anyone who wants to know what to do about that. Here's my homepage. And let me put my homepage there on the screen. And you can see it over here. If you scroll down in the left column, you'll see this right here where it says National ID Card, Your Papers, Please. Okay? So look for that on my website at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com in the left-hand column. And it says National ID Cards, Your Papers, Please. Click on that, and it'll open up a copy of my right to travel, okay? And you can read that for yourself. I think that's pretty much self-explanatory. And there's a link at the bottom that goes to my PDF, my actual PDF that I actually carry with me. Okay? It's a two-page legal document signed under the penalty of perjury, so it's admissible. And it is the first document in a lawsuit if they violate my rights. That's why I have it in a two-page legal form there. Okay? And I carry that. And that's what I give to them. It's signed and sealed and everything. And I have extra copies so that if the police stop me, I can give them. I say, here, this is for you and your department. Please keep this on record. And so that you'll know that it's me. And you know, the police have a certain right. So you check that out for yourself. And the police have a right to know who I am, I guess, and be satisfied that there are no warrants for my arrest out there. And so I want to help them out with that as much as I can. So, you know, I have my expired passport, and you know, I'm not elusive or anything about who I am and all that stuff. And I'm cordial and kind, and I smile at them because, you know, I realize these are just young men, women doing their job, doing what they think is right, and I want them to have a pleasant experience with me, basically. So I give this to them and say, you keep this copy. I have more. This one's for you and your department. You know, please keep it on file in case, you know, they ever, so you know who I am if you stop me again or something. And last time they stopped me is because my windshield was cracked and they've got a statute that you can't drive or you can't travel around with a cracked windshield. Well, I got my windshield fixed. That I did. They didn't give me a fix-it ticket because I didn't have a driver's license. But, you know, I think it's reasonable for them to expect my automobile to be in good repair for the public safety. And so, you know, I do that. My brakes work. My automobile is in, all the tires are good. My windshield does not have a crack in it now. And all of those things. So they have a right to look out for the public safety, and I understand that. But when they read my document, they end up always leaving me alone. They may call a supervisor or someone, but now they can send the document to them from their automobile down to their office so their legal department can look at it on the spot. And like I said, it's one page. It's not. It's like some of these people selling stuff, travel packages and citizenship packages, and they're like 40 pages. That's overwhelming. That's why I got everything on one page or two pages if it's double spaced and in a legal form. I want it to be easy to read, easy, succinct, and to the point. So anyway, take advantage of that there. Make up your own only if it's true. You know, I'm not selling anything here. But I do want God's people to stand on his word and exercise their rights. Because, you know, what did Paul say? If you can be free. Because when you sign up for Social Security, you give away your rights. You sign your life away. You declare yourself incompetent to manage your own financial affairs. Okay? And you allow them to rule over you. Okay? You give up your rights. So, maybe it's time to take your rights back and to live, to repent. And that's why you'll notice at the top of the document, it says notice of right to travel and declaration of repentance. That's the most important part of the document, is that I repented of what I consider to be sinful, and I can no longer participate in it. And so you actually has to be true, and you actually have to live it. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm about to run out of time here. Anyway, you're listening to Cross the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. And in our next segment, we are going to jump back into The Shadow Government Works for the Antichrist, Part 8, Diffusion, or the Spread of the Shadow Government Throughout Christendom to Every Church and Every Religion on Earth. And you'll see their founding instructions and how they implemented this 400 or 500 years ago, and have continued in this operation to this very day. When we get done with this series on the shadow government working for the Antichrist, we're going to look at some things throughout history that definitely point to the validity and to truth of the things that we're saying here. Okay, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much. May the Almighty bless you and keep you. as you continue on the narrow way that leads to life.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.